Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Chaffin, along with
Artemis Brower.
We're coming to you this week with episode 105.
105. Wish it was some better times for us, but that's okay. We'll get into that.
It's all good, Artie. It's not the podcast we were wanting to record this week, but it's the podcast we're recording. It's unfortunate, but we'll get into that here in a minute. ECU baseball being eliminated from the College World Series contention after going 1-2 this past weekend against Texas in the Super Regional in Greenville. But Artie, number five.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a number five? There's a lot to choose from.
There's a lot to choose from. There's a lot of baseball guys that were number five. A lot of basketball guys that were number five. I'm going to go with one of my favorite college football players, though. Dude by the name of Reggie Bush won a Heisman Trophy at Southern Cal. Trophy got taken from him. Shouldn't have gotten taken from him. I think that's a crime. But one of my favorite college football players of all time. I think one of the best college running backs to ever do it is Reggie Bush. And he won a wore the number five at Southern Cal, played in that infamous or very famous Rose Bowl National Championship against Texas with Vince Young. So, shout out Reggie Bush. Shout out to him at number five. That's my number five.
Awesome. Now, my number five, it's a little bit different. It's another baseball guy. Did baseball last week. My Braves are on a 13-game winning streak, so I'm, like, rolling with the baseball this week again. I'm going to say – do you know who mine is?
No.
Mm-hmm. No, you looked at the notes and you still don't know who it is. Nomar Garciaparra. You never heard that name?
No.
this guy is one of the most interesting characters to play the game of baseball. Very superstitious, Artie. If you have time, go and watch his pre-pitch routine as a batter, where he tightened his batting gloves over and over again and pulled up his – he had to touch his armband. He had to touch his leg. He had to touch it, both of his back pockets, had to touch his helmet.
Oh, he's that type of player.
Yes. Like, he was, like, all over the place with his hands. Go check that out. It's great. I remember watching him growing up and imitating him, playing wiffle ball in the backyard. So – Nomar Garciaparra. He was the Rookie of the Year and won the Silver Slugger Award in 1997. He was a 2-time batting champ, 6-time All-Star, and like I said, he won the Silver Slugger in 1997. He played for the Red Sox, and then I believe he was traded to the Cubs in 2004. So he was kind of the guy that had to have his time with the Red Sox end so that they could break the curse. Mm-hmm. But Artie, I'll talk about how superstitious he is. I want to know, do you have any superstitions?
You know, honestly, I don't. I'm the type that'll walk under a ladder. If I see a black cat, I don't care. Not really. I don't really have any superstitions. I don't believe in it.
Yeah, I wish I didn't. I'm more superstitious than I wish, or that I wish I was. I can do weird things at times. Playing golf a lot when I was playing hockey. I had a lot when I played hockey growing up, but had to put on a certain skate before I put on like another pad. I had to put my bottom half on before I put my top half on. Weird things like that. I always had to have clear sock tape playing hockey.
This is no shade to anybody that has superstitions, but I played with a lot of dudes growing up that had those kind of quirks and superstitions. And I can honestly say it did not help them play better.
Nope. It didn't.
Not one bit.
It's a mind thing, Artie. It's one of those things. It's like, it's kind of like the thing where you make your bed, right? Like if you make your bed in the morning, you know you're going to sleep better that night.
That night, yeah, yeah.
So you do it once, and you slept better that night, so now you do it every day because you slept better that one time. Well, yeah, it's the same thing for a sports superstition. And, I mean, you can go as far as to say, like, ain't doing something in your normal life. I mean, I always carry my keys in my left pocket. Like, it's what makes you feel comfortable. I mean, do you think about where you put your keys or your phone or your wallet?
You know, my keys usually always go in my right pocket. Keys always go in my right pocket. My phone usually goes in my left because I don't know. It's just easier access for me with my phone, and the keys just stay in the right. Wallet can't go in my back pocket. I can't have anything in my back pocket. Nothing. See, not even a stick of gum.
And then my back pockets are always buttoned. So, I mean, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious.
There you go.
But yeah, as we mentioned, ECU could have used a little more superstition, I guess, on over the weekend. I heard people counting outs on Saturday. I hate to hear that. I mean, they were asking David Pierce, head coach of the Texas Longhorns, hey, how many outs you got, David? How many outs you got? And they were like, 7 more outs, David. I hated hearing that, but I heard it, and I was like, oh, it's not going to be that big of a deal. We're up 7-2. Like, I'm feeling good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And then it all went to shit.
Yep.
Let's go through the weekend a little bit, Artie. Friday, awesome day. Everybody was feeling great. Vibes were immaculate. It was a good day, Friday, to be a Pirate. That's for sure. It's a great day to be a Pirate every day, but Friday was a little extra special. And then Saturday, like, you felt like, okay, there's nothing, like, there's no nerves, right? Like, mm-hmm. I went into Saturday, no nerves, feeling really good about where we were. I was like, well, if they beat us today, there's no way they're going to beat us 2 days in a row. Just thinking that, like, that kind of mentality, I knew our guys were ready to play. And they came out. They played well on Saturday. They just couldn't close it out on Saturday afternoon. Ended up dropping Saturday. They almost came back and won it back in the ninth with Jacob Starling, and then they lost on a walk-off in the ninth. Mm-hmm. So that was a heartbreaker. That was the moment when you felt momentum fully switched. When Texas came back on Saturday and won on a walk-off, that's when you felt momentum switch. And then Sunday, it just felt like they couldn't get anything going. The Pirates couldn't get anything going on Sunday. Not to mention you have about 6 hours worth of time that you were in a weather delay, which I need to get into that too. I got home at 8 a.m. On Monday morning.
Jesus. I was about to say, I can't even imagine what time you got home. What time did that game end, by the way?
Like,
because you know, I didn't stay up to watch that game.
140, 135, 140.
God bless.
Then we went to the post game. I left Clark LeClaire around 220, 230. I stayed at Brandon's for an hour and a half. Brandon Avery, friend of the podcast. Stayed at his house or his apartment for an hour and a half, Artie.
We got there from 2:30 in the morning till 4.
No, so 2 to 4, we were driving to Raleigh to stay.
Okay. I got you. And then you took like a little nap from what?
I took a nap from 4 to 5:30. Got up, and I had to stop 3 times to get. I got coffee twice, and I had to get gas, and that put me home at around 8 a.m.
Goodness. And you had to work that Monday.
Yes, I worked Monday. Worked yesterday. I was like dozing off a little bit on Tuesday at my desk, and I was having to like slap myself awake to keep myself awake from so I didn't miss any work. But yeah, I was running on caffeine and adrenaline all day Monday.
Jeez.
I had 3 cups of coffee Monday, and that got me through the day.
I'm happy. I don't know if 3 cups of coffee would have got me through the day that day. I could have had an endless amount. I don't know if I'd have been able to stay up for that one. So kudos to you.
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was a hard day, but don't know. I find I do some of my best work when I'm tired. But
I'd say this about the weekend. I agree with you completely. Friday was definitely one of those days where and I called it on the podcast. You know, we're gonna win Friday. We're gonna come out. We're gonna take game one. We're gonna put ourselves in that position to where we're gonna be one win away. And that's exactly what we did. It felt like all the momentum and it was all the momentum was on our side. You couldn't have asked for a better atmosphere. I mean, my goodness, how many times did we set the attendance record at Clark LeClaire over the last 2 weeks? I mean,
I think the five of the top eight attended games at Clark LeClaire Stadium happened in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we had almost 6K in the building. We probably did, including the parking lot and all the other places people were at around that stadium. And, it was madness, and you could not have asked for a better atmosphere. Couldn't have asked for a better setting. Texas definitely, they got everything they wanted and then some. Out of that fan base, out of that crowd, out of that atmosphere, it definitely juiced up our guys. So kudos to Pirate Nation for that. But you're right. Saturday was the turning point, for much of Saturday, for much of that game, my mentality, literally, I was like, oh my goodness, is there any way I can maybe move some things around to get to Omaha? That's mentally that's where I was at on Saturday. I thought we were going to get it done. I really thought that 7-2 lead, in the later half of that game, really thought that we were going to pull it out, that we were going to sweep one of the great programs in college baseball history to get to our first ever College World Series. I was just in my mind. I was like, wow, the you could not have written a better storyline than that. And obviously we know what happened. Texas makes that unbelievable, great comeback on them because you got to give them all the credit in the world. Their bats are some of the best bats in the country. I think Texas is the best team left in the country that is going to the College World Series. I do think they're the best team left now that Tennessee's not in it. And they won a game and a half. I think ECU won a game and a half and Texas won a game and a half. They just scored more runs. I don't feel like we lost to a better team. Honestly, I don't think Texas is a better team than us. I truly believe that we're good enough to beat Texas. We're good enough to get to the College World Series, good enough to really beat anybody in the country. But that momentum absolutely shifted on Saturday. Kudos to them because that is an excellent team. They've got an excellent coach. They've got excellent bats. Bullpen, we beat up that bullpen. So I'm not gonna say the bullpen is great, but that team is a great team. And Sunday, like you said, with that weather delay, the guys came out amped up. They came out with some juice. I mean, they even though they were down 4-0, in the bottom of the first, they came out with some juice.
Here's the thing I'll say about that is ESPN. I know they don't know anything about Greenville. Hell, they think we're in Greenville, South Carolina half the time.
Yeah.
But the thing about ESPN putting that game at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, in the summer at 4 o'clock on Sunday or 4 o'clock any day, really, there's a good chance it's going to rain in the eastern part of the state. And that's a tough look.
But right. but I understand why they did it at 4, though, Jared, because you want to have as much viewers as possible for a game 3 scenario. This is a winner take all on a Sunday. You're not going to want that at noon. You're going to want that at 4.
I get that, Artie. But at the end of the day, if the game had started on time, I honestly think that we might have a different scenario. I mean, if the game even had started at 4 and there was no rain delay, which that's nobody can control that. But I think if it had started on time, we might be talking about ECU going to Omaha right now.
I mean, that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to blame the outcome of a game on a rain delay.
And I'm not blaming. I'm just saying I think that it would be a little bit different had there not been the rain delay. And then to start the game, knowing that there's a cell coming through, to start the game, get 30 minutes into the game, and then have to shut it down, that's bullshit. They knew it was coming.
I absolutely see where you're coming from, but Texas had to play that game too. It's not like Texas didn't play at the same time ECU was playing. So it's not like Texas got a benefit of the doubt. Both teams had to play at the same time. So I just truly believe at that point, Texas had stolen all the momentum, and we didn't do enough on our part to get the job done. We were right there. Really, it should have never got to Sunday. If we're just being completely honest with you, it should have never got to Sunday. We should have swept Texas. We should have been able to hold on to that 5-run lead at home and gotten it done. So, you know, the rain delay, the game, you know, being at 4 p.m., which I think it should be at 4 p.m. We're talking about a Sunday game. I don't think that factored in to why we're not going to Omaha.
We'll agree to disagree, Artie.
Because this should not have been a Sunday game. Can we at least agree to that, that it shouldn't have been a Sunday game?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I do agree. But sometimes, I mean, teams come back in baseball. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens. And, yeah, I mean, give credit where credit's due. Texas, you played an awesome weekend. Like Artie said, I think they won one and a half games. We won one and a half games. They just happened to win the one and a half games that matters the most.
More runs. Yeah.
So, yeah, I will say, given the comments made by David Pierce before the Super Regional about ECU's fans, I would have thought that Texas fans would have been a little more classier, but they weren't. We tweeted out the video.
Well, you had to know they were going to be chomping at the bits to get it. Because, I mean, we had the horns down sign, I mean, yeah, religiously all week, as we should. Everybody does horns down. So, but
that was going to happen. The trailer trash that came into Clark LeClaire Stadium from Texas, that was absurd. I mean, it looked like you were walking around Walmart at 4 o'clock in the morning with some of the people they brought.
They were heavy in our mentions. They were heavy in everybody's mentions.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck every single one of them.
They were heavy. I mean, look, when you win, you get the opportunity to talk shit, right?
I talk shit too.
They were super quiet on Friday. They were super quiet on Saturday. And then Sunday and Monday, they want to come out the woodworks talking all that sexy shit. When you win, you get the opportunity to talk.
Congratulations. You've won, what, 4 national championships this year? But they're all in, like, women's rowing and tennis. Like, congratulations.
I just feel like they also should have recognized we had every right to talk our stuff, and we had every right to feel the way we feel because we have the team that we have. We have the program that we have. And we get it at Texas. They 38 College World Series appearances out of 74 or 75 College World Series.
But them being upset about us not listening or us chanting purple and gold while they sing the Eyes of Texas – get the hell out!
It's not your stadium.
Get the hell out of here! We don't give a fuck what you think.
It's not your fan base. It's not your city. Your fight song means nothing in Greenville, North Carolina. Sorry,
not to mention your band won't even play it because it's racist. Like
we don't have to respect that. You're an outside team visiting us. We don't have to respect you singing your fight song.
You think when Campbell brings their 12 fans into Dowdy Ficklin Stadium later this year, we're going to allow them to sing their fight song? No, we're not. We treat y'all like Campbell.
And if ECU was visiting Texas, it'd be the same thing. Yeah. They don't have to respect us singing our fight song in their stadium. They don't have to do that.
Exactly. But anyways, Artie, let's – this past weekend – it sucked, but there's a lot of good to look forward to next year. Jacob Jenkins Cowart, man, that dude might be All-American.
Stud.
First man, team All-American stud. Next year.
Yeah.
I mean, he only started half the season, was like second or third on the team in all hitting categories behind Bryson Worrell and Zach Agnos. I mean, two veterans of the game. And he did it in the biggest spots. When they needed a hit, he came up with a hit in most situations.
I 100% completely agree with you. I mean, we sound like a broken record because we had to do this last year too. And, you know, eventually we are going to break the door. It's going to happen.
You're going to kick it down.
It's going to happen in our lifetime. It's not one of those things where, you know, we're like the Cubs or the Red Sox and, you know, we're just waiting 100 years before we get there. No, it's not going to be like that. We're going to get there. It's going to happen soon. This sucked. This almost felt like the closest, even though we've been this close before. This one really felt like, man, we really should have gotten it done. Really, really should have gotten it done.
And then, I think back on Saturday. I mean, I think back to a couple of different plays.
Mm-hmm.
The Lane Hoover getting thrown out at third.
Yeah.
That sucked in the first inning. That was tough. Then later on in the game, this one was probably a little more sucky. I don't know what happened. I was standing in the jungle when it happened. A double play ball could have got us out of the inning when Texas was on one of their big runs. And I think it was bases loaded. Starling went to field a ball. Would have been a double play ball. No doubt double play. And I guess it took a bad hop. I never saw a replay of it. Let us know on Twitter if you saw it. But it looked like it took a bad hop or he took a bad route. And he doesn't take bad routes to a ball. And that was unfortunate. And that kept the inning going. And they got more runs and were able to tie it up. I believe that was in the seventh or eighth inning when that happened. I think about those plays. I think about the catch. The line drive that hit off Alec Makarevich's glove. That's a play that 9 times out of 10, he makes that play.
Yeah.
But in that one time, it just came at the most inopportune moment. Right? It hit off his glove, bounces into foul territory, down into the outfield. He and Lane Hoover have to go and converge on it and get the ball. I'm thinking about those three plays, and we may be talking about a different outcome in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, that kept momentum going for the Longhorns, and ECU was just never able to regain that momentum. I mean, not to mention this team, guys, ECU did all this with only one starter, with one legitimate starter all year. That's all I'll say.
I mean, just to put it in a recap. You know, we're legitimately sitting here talking about how bittersweet it is and how much it sucks that, you know, we were that close to Omaha. But just think about this season in totality, how this team was 14-13 at one point, how we literally had plenty of episodes where we were talking about not even making the tournament, not even winning the American, not even, you know, are we going to finish under 500? Could we possibly finish under 500? Those legitimate questions we were asking during this season.
I mean, a month left in the season, Artie, we were talking, is ECU even, they're on the bubble.
Yes, they were legitimately very much on the bubble. And to go out and to put on that streak that they did, they won, was it 20 straight games that they won? To win the American regular season, to win the American Conference Tournament Championship, to not only host a regional, but to win that regional and then go ahead and host a super regional for only the second time in program history and the first time in Clark LeClaire Stadium, and then to be able to host a heavyweight like Texas. I mean, this season was a success. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you flip it. This was a success of a season for ECU baseball. So – To just put it in a nutshell, I know we're disappointed right now. I know it sucks because we should be going to Omaha. And we all know that. Everybody knows we should be going to Omaha. But we're not. But to sit here and to think that, well, you know, it wasn't a success. No, this season was absolutely a success when you look at the totality of this season that those guys put together and that coaching staff.
I agree. So let's talk about some good news. Artie, four players earned postseason awards. And recognition. Bryson Worrell, Zach Agnos, Carter Spivey all earn American Baseball Coaches Association Atlantic All-Region Team Honors. That's a mouthful. Wow. Congratulations to those guys. Carter Spivey, also named second team All-American. Shout out to him. And then Jake Kuchmaner. He was tabbed the 2022 Senior Class Award Second Team All-American. The class award is the Celebrating Loyalty and Achievement for Staying in School Award. That was maybe the brightest spot of all of Sunday.
Yeah.
Was ECU being down 9 runs in the ninth inning and him being able to come out and finish his career on the mound. That was impressive.
It's awesome. And all those guys you mentioned, man, deserve all those accolades and all those worlds. Agnos, just the ultimate Swiss Army knife if I've ever seen one. The man can do anything on the baseball field. Bryson Worrell, my goodness, I thought he was going to single-handedly hit us to the World Series by himself. I legitimately thought Bryson was just going to come out there and he's either going to hit a bomb or he's going to hit you know, a ground rule double or get a hit to score somebody in. I mean, the performance that he put on in the regional and the super regional was absolutely phenomenal. Carter Spivey doing his stuff once again. And then like you mentioned, Jake Kuchmaner, I know I'm butchering his name, being able to finish, you know, his season and his career off like that on the mound. Just special stuff from all those guys.
The one thing, so I didn't stay for the Texas post game. It was so late on Sunday, but I was there for the ECU post game, and the look on the faces of Ben Newton, Bryson Worrell, and Jake Kuchmaner.
They left it all out there, man.
That broke my heart. Like, seeing those guys, listening to them and listening to Coach Godwin, that was tough. And
yeah,
it sucks that we're in this position again. But those guys, like you said, they left it all out there. They put – I mean, Jake Kuchmaner has been hurt for 2.5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he came back, I think he was still pitching hurt. I think he finally got back healthy enough to be able to go out there. But in his last couple appearances, he struggled. He gave up a home run on Sunday. That doesn't matter. That at the end of the day, that run didn't matter. And yeah, I mean, he is the ultimate pirate.
Yeah.
That the perseverance that he had this season and his whole career as a pirate, that guy better be in the ECU Hall of Fame at some point.
And there's just gotta be satisfaction in knowing that there's literally nothing more that these guys could have done. They literally put everything out there. They gave everything they had to it. And so there's just gotta be satisfaction in that, you know?
I agree, Artie. But moving on, let me talk to you a little bit about Can I Brands. Can I Man can't fix the heartbreak of the Pirates being eliminated from the College World Series, but it can help aid in the recovery during the tough off-season workouts. Try the Can I Man CBD Balm to help relieve sore muscles instantly when you need it most. Use promo code BONEYARD25. Once again, BONEYARD25 for 25% off your entire order on canibrands.com. Already, their products are great. I use them. I use them after I mow the yard. I use them to help me relax, help me fall asleep, wake me up in the morning. They're fantastic. I can't talk good enough about them. So go to canibrands.com. Use promo code BONEYARD25 for 25% off your entire order.
BONEYARD25, people. Do it.
All right, Artie, we'll start wrapping this thing up. We got some Twitter questions.
What's on the docket?
We'll start with Petey. Let's go. Are we 100% sure Carson Wisenhunt is coming back next year? The answer is no.
Yeah, no.
The answer is he's not coming back.
And why would he? He's a top 20. He's a top 20 prospect in MLB draft.
When I started hearing some things during the regional, just reaching out, talking to people, and from what I know, from the people I've talked to, he's told Coach Godwin he's not coming back. He's playing summer ball. He is playing college summer ball right now. In the Cape Cod League, but that's just to kind of get some more scouts to look at him.
Yeah.
To prepare for the draft. I mean, right now I think MLB.com has him listed as the number 36 prospect in this year's draft.
And that's only because he sat out of here.
Yeah. if he had pitched this year, he might be looking at top 15.
Yeah.
So yeah, from what I'm hearing, Carson Wisenhunt isn't coming back. So there's that. That sucks.
Yeah, I agree. I think this past season was his year to kind of put it all together and go for a run at it one last time with ECU. That didn't happen, unfortunately. I think the best thing for him and his career and his family is to go ahead and cut his losses, head to the MLB, get that money, and start and become a pro. I mean, I just hate to see that he's not going to be able to suit up for ECU. But a smart man will go ahead and go on to the MLB, and that's probably what he's going to go do.
Yeah, I agree. Along those lines, Dylan Woolard, he asked likelihood that Cliff Godwin turns to the transfer portal to reload on the mound. It seems like there will be more question marks there than anywhere else this offseason. Yeah, that'd be a better question for a guy like Steven Igo.
Yeah,
he knows more than we do with recruiting and the portal.
Right. Who's in the transfer? Who's available in the transfer portal?
The one guy that kind of sticks out to me is the two-way guy from Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude is an absolute stud. I don't know the name. I don't know his name off the top of my head. I mean, he was a top pitcher and hitter all year in college baseball. Got a good head on his shoulders coming from the Air Force Academy. I would love to see him, but it sounds like he may be going to a quote-unquote bigger program, meaning probably headed to the SEC. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. He does like the two-way guy, and he does like being that. And Cliff, we all know Cliff Godwin loves those guys. So yeah, that's somebody I would keep an eye out on. A couple guys entered the transfer portal from ECU today. I know Rezic entered, CJ Boyd entered, and one other entered the transfer portal. But yeah, and we got a good class coming in. I've talked to some of them. As far as pitching wise, I don't know if anybody's going to come in and be that Saturday starter or Sunday starter. We've got our Friday starter. CJ Mayhew is our Friday starter. We might see Garrett Saylor try to figure it out again and become a starter.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I would have probably started him on Sunday, but I'm not the coach. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at. But the rotation will be more solidified next year going in, and hopefully we don't have some bad luck with that going into next season.
Yeah.
All right. Petey also asks, with the announcement that the new schools are joining the American Athletic Conference on July 1st, 2023, do you think ECU ever pushes to be involved in the next conference realignment? If so, where do you think they'll try to go? Artie, do you have any thoughts?
That's a tough question, because I think from ECU standpoint, you got to focus on you, right? I don't think as a program or as programs outside of our baseball program, we're not really good enough to join a bigger conference per se. And market-wise, we don't have a big enough market to join a bigger conference. So if you're not going to have a big market, that means you got to be able to produce on the field. And if you don't have either at the moment, then you can forget about conference realignment. So I think for us, it's focusing on us winning some more American Athletic Conference championships in football, getting more competitive in basketball, ECU baseball breaking through, and then, you know, our other sports keeping up too. But the American going forward, if I'm being honest, is not that attractive. I mean, North Texas to me isn't that attractive. San Antonio had a great year, but who knows if they're going to be that great going forward. You know,
they had a great year in Conference USA.
Right. You know, Charlotte, cool. But and then who's that fourth one that's coming? Is it
well, there's six.
Birmingham.
It's UAB. I like UAB.
Yeah, I do like the Birmingham addition. That's a good one.
You got Rice and you got Florida Atlantic.
And I like the Florida Atlantic addition. Florida Atlantic, they've had some recent success. Lane Kiffin was down there for a little bit. That's a program. It's in Florida. They can get some good recruits. So I like UAB. I like Florida Atlantic. The other ones, though, I mean, Rice, what is outside of academics, what does Rice give to the American? Charlotte, baseball. You know, San Antonio and North Texas. I mean, they're just it just feels like a more upgraded Conference USA, in my opinion. So, you know, as soon as East Carolina can maneuver its way out of the American, in my opinion, yes, I think they should go for that. But they don't have the capital right now to really join any other bigger conference.
Yeah, I was asked this question this week when while I was at Clark O'Claire, some people asked me what I thought, and I'll tell all of you listeners listening now what I told them. I think in 3 to 4 years, ECU will be the top program in the American, and pretty much all sports, maybe not basketball, but
we can definitely hope and pray.
In football and baseball, in 3 to 4 years, ECU will be the top dog. I hung out a little bit with Coach Harrell on Friday and talked to him and got inside his head and where that team's going. It seems like everything's looking up for football still. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if ECU football goes 9-3 this year. We're not doing our conference or American or football picks right now, but
not yet,
but it wouldn't surprise me. I think 9-3 is doable. I will say that if I had to pick where we're going, in 3 to 4 years, I would love it. I'm going to say this, and there's a caveat to this, Artie. I think that the East Carolina Pirates eventually make their way. The P5 conference that I think they fit the best in right now, or in the next couple of years, would probably be the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten wants to move south a little bit. I think that they've got Maryland. I think they'd like to have a North Carolina school in there. I mean, ECU can get the Raleigh market. They can get – technically, they don't have any market other than the Greenville market, but TV-wise, they are the Raleigh and Charlotte market because, I mean, how many alumni live there? The only thing with joining the Big Ten is ECU has to focus more on academics. The Big Ten is notable for only allowing AAU institutions in.
Those are very prestigious academic schools up there in the Big Ten. They are.
Yeah. Outside of Michigan, yes.
I mean, we only got a U.S. president. That's all right.
I'm kidding. But yeah, that's the conference I would like to see. I think that they would be able to compete best there. I mean, just from what we see as far as the ACC, I doubt the ACC is going to allow us.
ACC will never take us. Carolina and State, Duke, they won't allow that. they would never take us.
I really think it's just Carolina and State won't allow that.
Yeah, true.
I don't think Duke or Wake Forest give a crap.
Yeah, they don't care. You're right. You're right. They don't care.
And then the SEC, something would really have to go right for us to join the SEC. Now, that being said, eventually, who knows, another school in the Big 12 could join the SEC. I mean, wouldn't surprise me. Houston fits that mold of an SEC program. UCF fits that mold. If one of those leave the Big 12, eventually, I doubt it happens. They're not going to be able to afford it to go to the SEC. Then who knows? Maybe we go to the Big 12. The Big 12 is my number two. I would love to see us in the Big 10, but academically, we're not there. It's going to take a little bit to get there, and unless they change their standards, so
yeah,
that's unfortunate.
I would just say to piggyback off of what you said, if in fact what you say is true, in 3 to 4 years, we are the dominant dog in the American, and we are not just dominating football, but we're dominating pretty much every sport. I agree that we're going to have, you know, the ability to move around in conference realignment. But because of the academics that you mentioned, I think the Big Ten is the best fit for an ECU to move out from the American and go to a Power Five conference. I think we do fit in the Big Ten. But academically, we don't fit, and I don't think the Big Ten would take us because of that. I think athletically, they'd see it and be like, yeah, ECU would be a nice addition. But can they keep up with these other schools in the Big Ten academically? And that, for that reason, I don't think they would take us. I think I got a flip-flop. I think the Big 12, because I do see another team leaving the Big 12 or two teams leaving the Big 12, I think the Big 12 becomes your new American Athletic Conference in 4, 5, 6 years, to be honest with you. I really do. So I've got Big 12 one and then Big 10. Big 10 would be perfect. I mean, that's a dream world perfect scenario. East Carolina and the Big 10.
And
but
it's been done before. I mean, you look at 10 years ago, Rutgers was basically ECU North, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, very similar party school.
Yep.
In New Jersey. Not necessarily known for their academics. Yeah, they were an academic school, but it wasn't. They weren't like top notch. ECU can get there. They just have to focus on some other things. But right now, to even set yourself up for those conversations, you got to focus on the field.
Exactly. And that's my main concern. We got to focus on the right now, getting better right now.
Exactly. So I would love for the Big Ten. I just don't see it happening. Big 12 would be great. Who knows? Maybe a black hole develops in Raleigh and sucks up NC State. Wouldn't that be the best day in the world? and then we just fill their spot in the ACC.
In the ACC? Yeah, I mean, well, you know, the ACC would be awesome. I just don't just because State and Carolina and you've already got four North Carolina schools in the ACC, and they're like, you know, they're old money. They're not new money ACC. They're old money ACC. They're the foundation of the ACC. So I don't ever see them leaving the conference.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's what I see there. And then, so yeah, right now, let's just get good on the football field and on the baseball field and try to compete on the basketball court. And then we'll talk in 3 to 4 years when the next realignment is due. True. The last one, this is kind of an inside joke. Courtney Layton, friend of the podcast, she asked, what's the lead singer's name of Rascal Flatts? Courtney, Brandon, I couldn't tell you, but I do know it's not Rascal Flatts.
It's not Rascal Flatts. It's a guy by the name of Gary LaVox or Gary LaVeau, whatever, however you say his last name.
Bonus points if you know the other two.
Oh no, I don't know the other two. I just looked Gary up. I didn't know him before the question was asked.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Rascal Flatts. I haven't heard of Rascal Flatts since I was in fifth grade.
God bless the broken road that led me straight to the Boneyard podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
No, Courtney thought for the longest time, apparently, that the lead singer's name was Rascal Flatts.
Was Rascal Flatts. That's funny.
And she thought it was wise to tell me and Brandon Avery that, and it wasn't, because we gave her so much shit after I found out. So, yeah. That's it, Artie. Walk the plank. Do you have a walk the plank?
Oh, God. You know what? No, I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't have one this week. The one you picked is a good one, though. That can be both of ours. I like that one.
Yeah. Mine is the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson, both for the same reason, but also different reasons. Deshaun Watson, dude, you got 24 women saying that you sexually harassed them. Not all of them are lying. Not all of them are lying. And then the Cleveland Browns have put themselves in a conundrum because they've got Deshaun Watson. They went out, signed Deshaun Watson, or traded for him. And And they said, oh, we did our due diligence. No, you didn't. Apparently you didn't.
No.
Because there were two more that came out, and now you're up shit's creek without a paddle. Because now you're like, oh, well, it's looking like he's going to be suspended even longer now. And which he should honestly at this point just be kicked out of the league. But now you've hurt like Baker Mayfield's feelings, and he doesn't want to play for you.
Baker Mayfield shouldn't want to play for them.
I wouldn't want to.
They chose a dude that has 24 sexual allegations against him. They chose that guy over Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield talks his shit, but he doesn't have 24 sexual allegations of misconduct against him. They chose that dude over Baker. I'd be mad as shit if I was Baker Mayfield. Of course I'm not suiting up for you. I'm not playing for you.
Yeah.
To hell with you and Cleveland.
Yeah. Cleveland. Yeah, and who wants to live in Cleveland? Like, let's be honest. Other than Warren Saba, who wants to live in Cleveland?
Look, LeBron was there, left, came back, and left again. And he was born and raised in Cleveland. So that'll tell exactly. you how great that tells you how great Cleveland, Ohio is. To be honest with you. But I mean to in all seriousness though, I mean Cleveland, to say that they did their due diligence, who are you fooling? Like honestly, who are you fooling? If you actually ask the women that work for that organization, and there are women that work for the Cleveland Browns organization, I promise you, 90%, at least 90% would not have signed off on that. They would not have been okay with you taking in a guy that has 24 sexual allegations against him. Optics matter. You have to look at optics here, and you're going to take one person's opinion over 24 other people's opinions? Come on now. Not all 24 are lying. Maybe some of them are lying. Maybe most of them are lying. But most ain't all, and all are not lying. So that's ridiculous.
For sure. So Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, walk the damn plank. All right, Artie, that's all we got. Anything else?
Wash your hands, wash your butts, people. Love you, Pirate Nation.
All right, well, quick programming note. We are going to take a week off from recording next week, so there will be no episode 106 next week of the Boneyard Podcast.
It'll be the following week.
It'll be the next week. I'm traveling all week for work, mm-hmm. and honestly, we just need to take a week to kind of recharge. We've been after this thing. I mean, Artie and I were going over some of our numbers that we're doing on social media right now, and they're insane because we've been hitting the ground running on it for the last month with baseball. So we hope that you understand. We're gonna take a week off next week, but yeah, Artie, that's all I got. Make sure you're following us on social media, Instagram, Twitter at Boneyard Podcast. Also, Artie, we do have a phone number. So if you want to call and leave a voicemail for the Boneyard Podcast, you can call us. All right. Our number is 252
Greenville area code
375-3608.
Hold on. I need to know this, Jared. When did you set up the phone number? I'm finding this out live and on the air.
Yeah,
as we record.
I mean, we've had it before, and then we let it go because we didn't really use it. But now I want to use it some more. Call into the podcast. Leave us voicemails. You can also text us.
Yes,
you can text us. If you want to text us. Okay, cool. You can do that as well. Maybe you'll text back if you get me on a Friday night. Or Saturday night, might be drinking. So do that as you wish.
I will say, disclaimer, folks, please do not call in and leave any nasty voicemails.
We will
derogatory play. Voicemails because I will call you back and I'll curse out you and your mama. And I'm not playing with you. So I got time. I'll call people back. I won't just listen to the voicemail and not call people. I'll call people back.
There we go. So yeah, if you want to send us questions, you can do that. By calling that phone number and leaving a voicemail. Once again, the phone number is 252-375-3608. 252-375-3608. That's the number of the Boneyard Podcast, the premier podcast of Pirate Nation. Artie, I'm done.
Deuce Fire Nation.
Peace.